This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
What is good, everybody? Good morning. Welcome back to another edition of the Malaga Drive Hoops Betting Podcast. Coming to you live Monday morning to break down the two second-round games that we've got going on today. Nuggets, T-Wolves, and the Knicks, Pacers. Hope y'all are doing well. I did a big picture preview with my boys on the second round that is up now. So obviously feel free to listen to that. We tackle everything from just more of a big picture perspective. Honestly, we don't go too deep into betting. There's some stuff sprinkled in there, but it's more big picture stuff. And then we'll obviously, as we are right now, continue to break down the slates from an individual standpoint. I only placed one bet from a series perspective in the first round, and that was the Knicks, two units. But I came back in yesterday with two series bets for this second round, and that was the Mavs plus 105 in the series against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I guess we could just talk about these right away. And the Nuggets plus 105 in the series now against the Timberwolves opened at minus 185, minus 190, obviously lost game one. And now you can grab them. Actually got them plus 110. My fault. Both of them plus 110. And I think we're very worst case. Only, you know, very worst case, at least one of those hit. We could start with the Mavs Thunder. And obviously they get going tomorrow. And we'll do a whole nother pod on that. But to me, long story short, they have, in my opinion, the two best players in this series. And it's not that I don't think highly of SGA. If you're asking who had a better regular season, it's SGA than Kyrie, right? And I will 100% give you that. And I want to make the distinction here that the Thunder had an incredible regular season, and that they were the best regular season team in the West. And SGA, probably you could argue, just given the record of his team, I wouldn't even call you crazy if you said he had a better regular season than Luka, even if, you know, Luka's volume and just sheer volume of numbers is better. But to me, right, Luka has done this for years. We've seen it. He's fallen short. But he, honestly, relative to his age and that some of the teams that he's had, he's been great in the playoffs, and he just hasn't quite had enough. He's been to a Western Conference semifinals. And to me, this is the best team that he's had. This is also now him and J-Kidd's third year, I think, right? So there's some familiarity there. There's experience. J-Kidd's been in the playoffs as a coach, yes, but, you know, as well as a player. Kyrie's hit big shot after big shot and is, as experienced as you can be. He's one of the few OG stars left in this game, right? There's, like, this new wave coming in, and I love it. League's in great hands. But the Stephs, the Durants, you know, that the even the Kawhis at this point, even Giannis, who's kind of in the middle of these two, they're gone. And Kyrie's kind of the last guy standing from that generation as a star. But all that to be said, they have their two best players are just vastly more experienced. I would argue that they're also just, you know, at this point, a little bit more reliable. And the Thunder are great. The Thunder are great, and they have a very bright future, and they are going to win a title in the next 5 years. I've zero doubt about that. They're going to win a title, and it is very hard to win a title. So I don't take that lightly. But I think this year, right now, I am more confident in the Mavs and their two best players. And I think you look at both these teams in their last series, the Pelicans came out in game one and competed, but the Thunder made adjustments and tucked them away. And I think a lot of that comes down to, one, the Pelicans just not having scoring, right? Just not having the scores. Brandon Ingram as their best scorer, not right. Obviously, Zion out. And then just not having the interior presence the way that they would have wanted to. Like, Nance was honestly solid, but they didn't go to Nance as much. They couldn't go to Nance, I feel like, 35 minutes a game. And I think Lively and Gafford pose some issues for Chet down there. And it's not that, like, I'm picking them purely because Gafford and Lively. I'm just saying, you know, that is an area in which I don't think the Thunder have, like, an edge the way they did against the Pels. And I was really impressed with the defense that the Mavs showed in round one against the Clippers, right, against James Harden and Paul George, so and Kawhi for game. So to me, you're getting the more experienced team. You're getting probably, you know, just to me, Luka's the best player in this series. Kai, SGA, you can go whatever way you want to go, but Kai is far more experienced. And you just look down the line. I mean, it's a group of kids over there, and it's a group of grown men. And shit, I'm not sitting here saying there's no way. I'm not playing two units or anything, but I do think the Mavs as a dog in this series are a good look. Lock that in. And then I locked in the Nuggets plus 105 down 1-0. I know the Wolves are the hot team, and they're playing well. Like, this is no shade against the Wolves. They are a championship caliber team at this point in the season. There's no doubt about it. They are playing good enough basketball to make a finals appearance and win, given, you know, depending on who they play. Honestly, no matter who they play, they are in that tier of you are playing good enough basketball to win a championship. But ultimately, to me, this Nuggets core five has been together for a while. They have great chemistry. They don't really lose series. They don't really lose games when they're all healthy. And I am not – the sky is not falling after one game. So to be able to get them as a dog when really I don't think they lose another home game. I really don't. They have not lost a home game in this run since obviously game one. And when I say this run, I mean last year and this year. And they've got three cracks essentially in my eyes. They've got three cracks to win one in Minnesota. And I do think they do that. So I think this eventually goes seven, and the Nuggets win it in seven, and I will take the Nuggets plus 105, I believe, to win this series. And I think one of those two teams definitely get home. I feel good about it. I feel good about it. One unit on each, both underdogs. Obviously, we'd love to get two, but even if one hits, we make a slight amount of money. All right, let's get into this the slate today. We have one play, a couple others that we're mulling over. Let's talk our way through it. The first game of the day is the Pacers and the Knicks. And I talked a little bit about it on the other pod. I feel like the Pacers are, of all the teams that won their series, I feel like I'm still, I guess I learned the least about the Pacers. Or I guess I'll say another way of putting it. I'm the most confused or don't know enough about the Pacers, right? Where, like, you go down the roster. One, Halliburton's not right. He's not 100%. I'm not going to say he's not right, but he's not 100%. And it's also his first real go-around in the playoffs. Pascal, you know, he had some great years in Toronto. I still don't know if he's this one. I actually don't think he's this tier one star that you could just rely on game in, game out to go get you a bucket no matter what. He's a very, very good player. More than capable of being a two. And a two on a championship level team is still a very, very good player. So, again, this is just me not knowing exactly how I feel about all these guys on this rotation: Halliburton, Nesmith, Nembhard, Pascal, Turner, TJ, Obi. You know, there's just a lot of unknown, and I know exactly what I'm going to get from this New York Knicks team. Now, again, there's no value in the series. I'm not betting them on the series. The Knicks are a decent favorite at like 270. I'm not laying it there. And I honestly think this is going to be a close series. We're just looking at game one. And I think game one, I would lean the Knicks. I would lean them at home. We saw the Pacers get blown out in game one in a feel-it-out game against Milwaukee. New York has been great at home. That crowd will be rocking. 5.5 is decently short. I think it's a good matchup in terms of Jalen Brunson should be able to get off and just cook in the mid-range and do his thing, because he will hunt Tyrese Halliburton, who is not quite there as a defender, even though I'm sure Nemhard will start off on him. Just plenty of ways to get Tyrese Halliburton on Jalen Brunson. So to me, I lean the Knicks here, -5.5. I do think they're a slightly better team, and there will be plenty of times to grab the Pacers, I think, in this series. I don't know that game one is one of those games. That being said, I'm not going to lay the 5.5. I'm going to take their money line at -225 and parlay it with the Nuggets at -225 and get like a +106, +107 bet. And that, I'll just say it straight up, that's what I'm on today, is I'm grabbing the Knicks to win at home. I'm grabbing the Nuggets to bounce back and win today at home. And you get it at plus money. And I do think this hits 75 to 80% of the time. Pacers absolutely capable of winning this game, but I do think the Knicks win this the vast majority of the time. And obviously I think the Nuggets are not going to go down 2-0 after two games at home. The other side of things on the total, I like the over. It's tough because it's such a clash of styles, right? The Knicks want to slow it down, play it at a grinded out pace. They play their guys 40 minutes a night, right? So you don't want to have them just be running up and down all game. It's not that they're not capable of it, but you know, that gets tiring. That absolutely gets tiring. So I like the total. I do like the total at over. It was at 215. It's now up to 217.5. Some of that value is gone. But I do think this is going to be a little bit of a faster series compared to the Knicks Sixers, where both those teams wanted to slow it down and both those teams had great defenses. And you still saw, even in some of those games, they went way over totals because of shot making. And so I think you're going to see the Pacers are a shot making team. They make a lot of jumpers. You saw it, that they did it against Milwaukee. And there are times it's just the nature of the game where if you are missing shots, the Pacers are going to get out and run, and it naturally speeds up the pace. So I think, again, you saw in the Pacers Bucks, that first total was in the 220s. A lot of times it did come down a lot of times into the mid two teens, but there were 220s games and plenty of games that went over that in non-close it out, non-critical series. Even the last game went over the total in a close it out game. So I think the over is in general the way I'd lean in this series. Again, I'm going to have to watch it to really just, you know, feel this out completely. But I do think the over is the look here. Now, in terms of props, the Pacers are a really hard team to peg because unlike the Knicks, they spread it around a little bit more. They go to their bench a little bit more. And sometimes it's Miles Turner. Sometimes it's Pascal. Sometimes it's Reese. And sometimes it's just a random dude off the bench like Nesmith or Nemhard. So to me, the Pacers are a very, very hard team to lock down in terms of props. And then, you factor in that this is on the road, game one. I'm probably not getting there on anything there. I do think that Miles Turner three-pointers is interesting. 2.5 is going to be decently plus money. And you know Mitchell and Hartenstein, they're in drops. They're in drop coverage. Carlisle ended up getting a ton of open threes for Turner. I don't hate that. I don't hate Deuce McBride over 1.5. The dude is ripping it at an extremely high level. I don't hate Dante to bounce back at over 3.5 threes as well. But ultimately, I don't think I'm getting there on anything. Josh Hart, 1.5 threes is interesting too. It's like averaged 4 threes in the first series, but then you know that's not really his game either. So I think I'm just staying away from the props in this one. Josh Hart rebounds over 12.5. I think if anything, and I know this sounds crazy, but Jalen Brunson, 35.5 points is an insane number, right? Like he can have 35, which is an elite playoff game, and he's still going under. Like the bar is just so high, and I think to me, for him to hit over 35.5, things have to go really well, right? This is a two, and granted, I know he plays almost the whole game, but this is a 217 total. This is not a 230 total. This is not a 240 total. It's not even a 225 total. It's a 217 total, and to me, 35.5 is a massive number. Like, I don't hate going under there. We got our first win in the second round with Jamal Murray under 22.5 points in that first game. And obviously, this is a different beast. Jalen Brunson is healthier and the number one option and plays more minutes. But 35.5 is a massive number. That being said, this is a good matchup for Jalen Brunson. I guess we could watch a game, but dude, if I had to play something here, it's the under. The other thing to look out for is just Mitchell and Hartenstein and kind of who's the go-to guy at center. Do the Knicks go small? I don't know. Honestly, I don't know the answer to all these questions. What I do know is that Hartenstein's PRA was in the 19s, down to 17s late in that series against the Sixers, and Tom's Thibodeau's preferred center was Mitchell Robinson. And that was, you know, because of Embiid. And now Embiid's not here. This is a completely different series. And now you're seeing Isaiah Hartenstein's PRA is at 22.5. Mitchell Robinson's at 12.5. Granted, Isaiah Hartenstein is already a much like a more of a stats guy than Mitchell Robinson, especially because of the scoring, a little bit more advanced as a scorer, a little bit more advanced as a passer. Similar as rebounders, I'd say Mitchell's actually a slightly better rebounder, but that is something to keep an eye on in terms of, all right, who's the guy for Tibbs in this series at the center position?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, let's get to the Nuggets and the Timberwolves. Timberwolves 5.5 point dogs tonight after closing as 4 in game one. And I think, talk about it over and over and over and over. In general, you want to bet with the books, especially in playoff games. And honestly, in any game. And it's not an end-all, be-all. It's not something that you always do blindly. But I think in general, if you are betting on the side that the books like in a game, you're probably going to be profitable at least to some extent. And again, you see an example of it tonight. And in this case, we all know why it is what it is, right? But the Nuggets in game one, 3.5 to 4 point favorites. The Nuggets in game two, 5.5 point favorites after losing game one. And why is that? Because they lost game one. This essentially becomes a must-win game. It's not a must-win game, but it's as must-win as a non-must-win game could be. And you guys know why. You can't go down 0-2 at home heading onto the road to Minnesota. I mean, you could, but that makes your path a lot tougher. Now, at the same time, Minnesota has not lost a game in the playoffs. And they were in this exact same situation, not exact same situation, but in a similar situation in Phoenix where they're coming back to Phoenix up 2-0. Now everything's shifted onto the Suns, and you know, people are all ready for the Suns, and they just still took care of business. And this is an extremely locked in group right now. And they're honestly a really tough fade. And that is why, to me, I'm not getting on the Nuggets 5.5. I'm not going to do it because I would not be surprised if they win this game by 5 or less. I would not be shocked at all if this is still a very, very competitive dogfight game. Now, again, we are on the Nuggets to win the series still. You guys know how I feel about it. Again, this team has been extraordinarily dominant for the last 2 years. Last game was the first time they've lost a home playoff game. I don't see them doing that twice. I don't. I think Michael Malone is – obviously, he has great players, but I think he's underrated as a adjuster and as a coach. And they still have Nikola Jokic, the best player in the game, in a league where a lot of these offenses are led by ball-dominant guards or even wings in some cases. Nikola Jokic is a walking good look for you in the half court, which is extremely, extremely, extremely valuable, whether that is for himself or for someone else. So I think they get this done tonight. I will also say the over-under is at 207. It cruised under last game. I do think I like the over, and that is just because I do believe that the Nuggets understand the monster that is this Minnesota Timberwolves half-court defense, and I think they understand that if not necessarily they don't have to do it to win the game, but I think what definitely will help them in this game is being able to get stops, get out, and push the pace off those misses. You saw Malone at many different points in game one saying, go, go. Like Jamal would bring it up slowly. He's like, go, go. I do really think it's important to find rhythm early in transition to get some of the, not necessarily Jokic, but some of these other guys rhythm looks to give them rhythm in the within the half court. And so for that reason, I like the over. The total is so low. And you've seen even like you've seen a lot of games, like let's say you go to games 3 and 4 in Phoenix, right? Like the game 3 total where Minnesota did end up stomping them, the game 3 total was 209.5. And it flew over. It was in the 230s. And Phoenix, even in an L in which a game where they did not cover, still scored 109 points. Game 4, 122-116. So I think Denver's offense is going to get loose today. And I still am not to the at the point yet where I'm like, I'm going to bet Denver -5.5. But I do think there are so many different ways to get on them today that I think are good looks where I'd feel confident in them. And I honestly, I think 5.5 is the least of them. And I still, if I had to pick, I'm going Nuggets 5.5. But to me, going Nuggets first quarter -2, Nuggets first half -3 or whatever it is, Nuggets team total over 106.5. Like we're talking about a historically good offense with a 106.5 team total. In which a game in which they did not shoot it super well. So to me, the Nuggets are the way to get on this. Again, the Wolves are very good. This is one game. This is one spot. I'm not here to disrespect the Wolves. They've been unbelievable. They have literally not lost a game in the playoffs and were unbelievable in game one. But I do think the Nuggets get right today. And it's never as bad. And things are never as bad as they seem. And they're never as good as they seem. I do think that the Nuggets get right today and win this by 7 to 8 to 9. Again, would not be surprised if it gets down under 5 or 4, you know, depending on how the foul game shapes out. But to me, the Nuggets are the side today. And honestly, I like them more in the first quarter, first half, because they know we can't fight uphill. I mean, we could do it. We did that a lot against the Lakers, but we'd rather just come out early, take care of business, and get it done from there. I really do think my favorite of it is the Nuggets 106.5. You score 107 points at home. Again, granted, Lakers not as good, but 114 points against the Lakers, 101, obviously that wasn't good enough. They had a bad shooting night. 112, 108 in an L, 108 in a win. And some of those games were absolutely grindy. So I do think that 106.5 is a good look. Now, in terms of props, this is, I think, again, a little bit more of a condensed, especially with the Nuggets. It's condensed in that it's 5 players. You don't even have to worry about other guys, and you know who those guys are. Wolves a little bit more spread around, but we could run it back with Jamal Murray under 22.5, but again, I don't love that. Just in terms of Jamal still got going for 17 in the second half. We didn't get lucky. Like we were, I believe, the right side, but you know, he did not score in the first half and scored 17 in the second half. I think that, you know, lends him to finding some rhythm in game 2, despite it being a tough matchup. I like Michael Porter Jr. over 18.5 points. He's gone over that, I believe, every single game this playoffs. Huge for this team, going to play huge minutes, shooting the ball at a very, very high level. I love that play. And then Jokic had a pretty poor game. And even in that poor game, he had 32 points. Now, to me, I like the over on threes. I really do. I think that's a decent look. He took 9 last game. That's a super high number. I don't think he takes 9 again. He only went 2 of 9, but the over is 1.5 at plus money, or at least it was last night. Let me pull this up. Yeah, it's 1.5 now, plus 131. It was 120 last night. It did take till very late in the game for it to hit. But like a lot of times you see Rudy on him, and Rudy's an unreal defender, and he'll do his best to come out at times, but really where he's more comfortable is under the 3-point line. So I just think Jokic understands, right? He's not a scorer in terms of like, he's not a score for first player, but he'll do that if that is what is necessary. And this is a must win game. So I like Jokic over 30.5 points. I like Jokic over 1.5 threes. I like MPJ. And then honestly, like for similar reasons to Jalen, like Ant under 30.5 is a decent look to me too. I don't think Malone's going to let him get off the way that he did, right? I get it. You let AG and KCP try one-on-one for a little bit. And who knows? Maybe Minnesota's crushing you out of showing too. But I think that I don't think that Malone's going to let Ant be as comfortable as he was. And he had plenty of really nice like back cuts and plays where he caught it and just had a wide open layup. In game one. So that's where I'm at, guys. That's where I'm at. To me, all aboard the Nuggets today. We've already parlayed Knicks and Nuggets, but I think we're going to get on the team total as well. And then I am really thinking about, you know, half units on Jokic threes and points. But I could also see him, you know, like I wouldn't be surprised if he does his normal thing where he like coolly dominates, but he doesn't feel the need to always score, and other guys have it going and he has 25. So again, it's, you got to be careful and not just purely chasing what happened last game and believing that that is exactly how it's going to play out. But I appreciate y'all. Have a great start to your week. Get after it, grind, but have fun in the process, man. We've caught a little bit of fire, but again, we don't want to get too excited and act like we'll never lose a bet again, because we will. Hopefully it's not today, though. Knicks Nuggets money line parlay locked in, plus 106. Love that. I think that's hitting at 75-80% of the time. I don't see the Nuggets losing today, so as long as the Knicks take care of business, we're good. And then I like the Nuggets team total over 106.5. Yes, there's always the chance that this turns into a super grindy game and that the Nuggets win a low scoring game, but I do think more often than not, they score 107 plus today. Appreciate y'all. Talk to you tomorrow. Peace.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.